Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now Channel 525.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this third day of November, Friday, 2023. And tonight our producer is Josh Booth. Say hey, Josh.
Hey.
There
hey,
you
Josh.
Go. Right here, pretty near live in the studio with me is Randy Gay.
Be blessed, no stress, everybody.
There you go. And little Lisa Hickman.
Good evening, everyone.
There you go. Now, my special guest tonight, she is a longtime pro-life activist, lobbyist, and she is also an author of several books. And she also has her own talk show. And she is a friend of mine, none other than Jen Porter. Hey, Jen.
So glad to be here with you, Pastor.
It's good to have you. We've got a lot to get to tonight, so what I'm going to do is start off with the one source of authority that stands completely alone, and that's God's Word, the Bible, the King James Bible right here. And so we're going to start, and I'm going to read some scripture, jump in, and then when we get through the scripture, I'm going to just sit back, turn it over to you, and let you talk, because, boy, we've got to win this one. We've got to win.
We sure do.
And so we're going to start tonight in Leviticus chapter 20. And in verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones, and I will set my face against that man, and will cut him off from among his seed, his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Moloch to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any way hide their eyes from the man when he giveth them a seed to Moloch, and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut them off, and all they that go a-whoring after him to commit whoredom with Moloch from among the people. Now, here, he makes it very, very clear to kill a child, okay, is to transgress God's dominion and to defame his holy name and to defile his sanctuary, okay? And, of course, here in America, we know that our sewers from coast to coast run red with the blood of innocent children. But not only that, he's saying this, Jan, that hear when not only those people, but those people that know about them that are killing the child and they do nothing, sins of omission, those people will be cut off and killed too. Now, let me ask you this. Is the God of the Old Testament the same God of the New Testament?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
He certainly is. And here, I want to jump over now to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And he says this, "But the word is very nigh unto thee," in verse 14, "into thy mouth and into thy heart, and to thy mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good." Listen, life and good, life and good, "death and evil. And that I commanded thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce you unto you this day, that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love thy Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is life, and the length of his days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware to thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them."
Now that was chapter 2, Pastor. You had mentioned 3.
Pardon?
That's chapter 2, Deuteronomy chapter 2. I'm sure you inadvertently.
No. This is Deuteronomy chapter 30. Okay, so now we're going to go from here over to Proverbs chapter 24. In just 3 verses. "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." Oh, I see we have Chaplain McTurnan with us too. So bring up Chaplain McTurnan. All right. John, are you there?
I'm here, Pastor Ernie.
All righty. Okay. We're going through the scripture tonight. We're in Proverbs chapter 24. And we're just going to read the verses 10, 11, and 12. Jan Porter is with us tonight. And we're going to be talking about the issue one. I mean, this is, we'll get into that. Proverbs 24, verse 10, 11, and 12. "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn into death and those that are ready to be slain. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth the soul, doth he not know it? And shall he not render to every man according to his works?" Well, basically what that is saying there in short is when you stand before the Lord on Judgment Day and he says, "What were you doing when they were killing my babies?" The only acceptable answer is everything I could do to stop it. That's just the long and short of that. And so I want to go over now to Jeremiah chapter 2. And in Jeremiah chapter 2, I want to read from, I missed it there. I'll get it in a minute. In Jeremiah chapter 2, starting with, having a little bit of a problem. There, I finally got there. Now, Jeremiah chapter 2, I'm going to start with verse 33. "Why trimmest thou the way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways." And now what he's doing here, just so you'll understand, because this might be a little hard for some people to understand, he's referring to the nation of Israel as a wicked woman, as a whorish woman. And he said, also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. So you know what they're saying, Jen? They're saying, hey, we're allowed to do what we're doing. The government said it's okay, what we're doing. Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? Thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt, as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. Yet thou shalt go forth from him, and thine hands upon thine head. For the Lord has rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper them. So they're saying, the Lord is telling them, it may be legal, but it's not lawful, is it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I'm going to finish over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with verse 9. Now listen, this is very important. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. This is the platform of the Democratic Party right here. For thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That means that these people that commit these things are going to hell, right?
But now, it also covers issues 1 and 2, sort of, kind of,
yep,
in Ohio.
Yes.
It does. It covers
them. It covers, you're absolutely right. This is the word we're trying to get out here, because this issue 1 is a curse. It is a real curse. And so we're going to take a look at what it does, but that's why we have Jan here. So he goes on to say, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Amen.
Amen.
And so,
yes.
Anyhow, with that, Jen, I've been harping on this issue 1 and 2, but especially on issue 1.
Yep.
And I'm just going to let you take it away. You do it very well.
Well, God bless you. I so appreciate you, Pastor, that you've always been in this battle and you've always been on the right side of things from the early days. And many people don't know, you know, they know that I've been involved, but they don't know the role you've played. So I just want to just once again say thank you for blazing the trail for the laws that we've seen on the books. And you know what? Ohio is a pioneer state. We're known as a pioneer state. You know, we're the state of not just the presidents, but we're the state of things like the first in flight, that the birthplace of aviation. You know, North Carolina can claim that, but the Wright brothers were Ohioans. You know, we were the ones who fought all the way to the Supreme Court for parental notice. It was our parental notice statute that ultimately was upheld at the Supreme Court that allowed other states to follow. It was our state that led the way for the ban on partial birth abortion, saying, no, you're not going to pull a baby out 4/5 of the way and then perform an abortion. We were the state that introduced the first heartbeat bill. But what people don't seem to understand is that everything we have fought for, everything that we have blazed the trail to lead the way for other states to follow, it's all hanging in the balance right now because issue 1 would wipe it all out. Parental notice, gone. Parental consent, gone. The ban on partial birth abortion, gone. Issue 1 would strip parents of their rights and partially born babies of their lives. Partial birth abortion comes back into business. It's the only thing that's not in this thing is the forced abortion program of China, because it goes even, I don't even know how to say this, but it goes beyond the whole abortion until birth without parental notice. It actually is because of how they word this thing, and many of you've heard this. It's quick way of review. The word woman doesn't appear anywhere in this amendment. It's not there. They instead deliberately use the word individual. Individual, of course, includes a child of any age. So if that individual, that child of any age, is the one making the decisions. You know, we're talking about a 10-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 12-year-old. They can make sexual decisions concerning their gender, concerning their body, concerning their activity. And that means that you know, if a teacher notices that Tommy is playing with a doll instead of a truck one day, and they suggest that he might be a girl, and don't tell your mom and dad, they don't understand, but we'll take you in to get a transition surgery. Guess what? A little boy named Tommy could come out called a girl named Tammy. Of course, you don't change anyone's sex. The DNA remains the same. Everything is all just a grand illusion. But what happens, and the reason we put this in the form of a commercial, and you can watch it at f2a.org, f2a.org, or just the straight out faith, the number 2action.org. You can watch these ads that explain what's happening in 30 seconds, where you know, you're looking at parents who could be getting a call one day from Dr. Machete and say that, you know what, yeah, there was a problem with Tommy's gender reassignment surgery. And, you know, as any mother would say, well, he never consented any surgery. Well, issue one doesn't require your consent. And so let me talk to my son right now. And, oh, you don't have a son. Issue one gave you a daughter. That's their angle. That's what they want. It's the dismemberment and the brutal annihilation of a baby in the womb or outside the womb, 4/5 of the way in the case of partial birth abortion. But then it's child mutilation or sterilizing children through these puberty blockers where again, parents have no say. But guess what? If this 10-year-old or 12-year-old who's taken to get his gender reassignment surgery, or this 13-year-old goes and has an abortion because you know, a trafficker takes her there, or a coach that got her pregnant, whatever it may be, mom and dad can never find out. That's the basic thing. It's not just they have to get permission or consent; they're not even notified. Two laws that we fought very hard for in this state. But let me tell you how it does. It goes beyond that, because that individual includes a child of any age. You read a little further in the in Amendment 1, and what it does is it says, hey, if somebody assists them, all right, somebody who aids or abets them, someone who assists them in making this decision, they are completely immune. They cannot you can't go after them. You can't find them liable. You can't go after them for any violation, because this amendment, which trumps all of our state laws, would say that they are completely immune. So what this means is, if you've got an adult pedophile that can convince or coerce an 8-year-old that this is their choice to engage in sexual activity, then guess what? You can't do anything about it. You can't go after the pedophile. It basically legalizes pedophilia and child trafficking, because the person who assists them, that assists this child in making this decision, not only to engage in sexual activity, but also to have an abortion that follows. That just covers their tracks. So the trafficker could take this child in, and again and again and again, you've got a revolving door of a child being victimized, and legally so under issue one. That's what we're dealing with. It is it's as bad. It honestly, it's the worst amendment in the history of Ohio. It is the most radical, lethal amendment in the country. It would turn Ohio not just into California. It would look more like North Korea, in my opinion, because there's no restrictions whatsoever on what you could do to a child without a parent knowing, and do to that baby in the womb. I think we understand. It's the worst thing that I've ever seen in my life, and I've been fighting this for you know, close to four decades.
Let me jump in just a minute, Jan. I've been listening to that, and I've been looking at that, and listening to some constitutional lawyers who look at that, and hear this nightmare. So, you know, it's why we're saying vote no on the nightmare. That's what it is. This would actually, not only does it kill child, take off all restrictions on child killing, but it legalizes prostitution. It legalizes child prostitution, Jan. It removes all parental rights. Jan, it legalizes pedophilia. It legalizes pedophilia. It legalizes what they, well, as you just said, child sexual mutation, you know. This is a curse. This is a pit, for, you know, right from the pit of hell. Anyone who would vote for this is asking God to curse them. And I can tell you, I'm, you know, I hope that anyone that does vote for this, that's exactly what happens. They deserve it. This is, anyone who would vote to do this to the children is an evil, wicked, ungodly person. And Jan,
or they're greatly deceived.
Go ahead.
Because what they're greatly deceived, Pastor, because the commercials that they're running, they're telling people this is just about maternity care and fertility and your miscarriage care, none of which are under assault. All of those things are available to women. You can have fertility treatment if you want. You can have miscarriage care, whatever it may be. Those rights are not in violation. They put that all in there to cover their tracks and make it look like, oh, it's about contraception or it's about continuing one's own pregnancy. Where is that under attack?
The word they use is women's reproductive rights.
Yeah, they're using the word reproductive rights.
They call it women's reproductive rights is what they do. I mean, I'm accosted by them every time I go to the library or the store. And what they do, and all you have to do is ask them, what women's reproductive rights are being threatened? And they really can't give you an answer because women have reproductive rights in Ohio.
John, this is a national issue. I mean, this is being spoken of what's happening here in Ohio. People nationwide are talking about this, are they not?
Oh, yeah, Pastor Ernie. I'm picking it up here in Texas about it. It's got a lot of, getting a lot of traction across the country.
And so we're going back and, what rights don't they have? And again, reproductive rights. You're right, Jan, everything. The way I've been challenging any lying ACLU lawyer, okay, to come on here for the last 2 weeks and sit across from me and try to justify this, because I've been telling them, you're running ads. The ads you're running are lies. You're running they're totally a misconception of the truth. And I've challenged for the last 2 weeks any of them to come on and sit across from me. I haven't gotten one call, one taker. And we've been giving the phone number out, and I'll give it out again. 440-338-1367. Because there's not one of them out there that's got enough integrity at all to come and try to justify that. Those ads that they're running are absolutely nothing but just pure deception.
They actually say the opposite of what is true. They say that this will ensure parents' rights. It does nothing of the sort. It is specifically and directly written so that a parent can, let's look at the language. The state and anyone else cannot directly or indirectly burden, penalize, prohibit, interfere with, or discriminate against this individual's, so-called newfound right to kill their child. And if you were one who aided or abetted, if you assisted in this, then there's nothing that they can do to you. You are completely immune. This is what people need to understand. This is turning Ohio into California, or more accurately, perhaps into the state of into the country of North Korea. By the way, It's all a lie that this is viability. If you read the amendment, I went in and voted no. I read the amendment, and what it's saying is that, oh, except for fetal viability, of course, it's the abortionist who makes that decision. The guy who's in it, who's got a conflict of interest, who wants to make money and says, oh, yes, your 9-month baby isn't viable, and so I'm going to go ahead and kill it. That, you know, we all are gathering together, and we're praying for Israel. And we're standing with Israel against what Hamas has done, cutting off the heads of babies. But what we're talking about doing is basically instituting a Hamas policy into Ohio, where babies' heads are cut off, where children are maimed and mutilated. But I just want to say this: I don't want to get into a place where our fear of failure is greater than our faith in God. And Pastor, you've been beside me in many of these rallies when they said the heartbeat bill couldn't pass, when they said the partial birth abortion bill was impossible. They took over the committee. They killed the bill. It was not something we could bring to the floor, except that we know the motto of the state. I stood there last Saturday, and I stood literally on the word all. With God, all things are possible. And we prayed, a group of us. You know, Pastor Rodney Lord, he was among those in the inner circle of these bills, and I stood on the word all because I wanted to just reestablish and remember who we're dealing with, the God who sits above the circle of the earth. All of these giants, even including this most lethal giant that we face in issue one and two, he's bigger than that. And I'm praying right now, you know what? We have the power, it says in God's word, to bind and to loose. And so what you see manifested, deception, I hear an ad, I bind deception and I loose the truth. I ask God to take the veil off the eyes of the state of Ohio, of the Ohioans who'll be going to vote. I pray confusion in the enemy's camp because in a hedge of thorns. I've been praying they waste every dollar they have because look, we're standing on the side of life. As you said, God was the one who came up with the first voter guide. It was said, choose life, that we and our children will live. That's the choice we have to make. And I did want to say that I do know we have a solution. We have something on our team that the other side doesn't have. I don't know if you've got to take a break, Pastor, but I'm anxious to see.
Yeah, that's it. That is. We're going to hear from Congressman James Comer very quickly. Be right back.
Remember when Joe Biden told the American people that his son didn't make any money in China?
My son has not made money in terms of this thing about, what are you talking about, China.
Well, not only did he lie about his son, Hunter, making money in China, but it also turns out that $40,000 in laundered China money landed in Joe Biden's bank account in the form of a personal check. And the Oversight Committee has it. Here's how Joe Biden benefited. From his family's shady deal with CEFC, a Chinese Communist Party-linked company. It all began with a shakedown in the summer of 2017, when Hunter Biden sent a message to his CEFC associate demanding a $10 million capital payment. As Hunter Biden extorted this associate, Hunter claimed he was sitting with his father and that the Biden network would turn on his associate if he didn't pony up the money. The extortion scheme worked. Days later, $5 million flowed in from a Chinese affiliate of CEFC. Over the following 3 weeks, Biden family members made a series of complicated financial transactions to hide the source of the China money. Here's how that happened. First, Northern International Capital, a Chinese company associated with CEFC, wired $5 million to Hudson West 3, a joint venture established by Hunter Biden and a CEFC associate. Then Hudson West 3 sent $400,000 to an entity owned and controlled by Hunter Biden. Next, Hunter Biden wired $150,000 to Lionhall Group, a company owned by James and Sarah Biden. Sarah Biden then withdrew $50,000 in cash from Lionhall Group. Later the same day, she deposited it into her and James Biden's personal checking account. A few days later, Sarah Biden cut a check to Joe Biden for $40,000. The memo line of the check said loan repayment. Like the payment to Joe from AmeriCorps funds, it's certainly plausible that this payment where James and Sarah used funds from China was indeed a loan payment to Joe. But even if this $40,000 check was a loan repayment from James Biden, it still shows how Joe benefited from his family cashing in on his name. With money from China, no less. Without his family peddling his name and his son threatening a CEFC associate with consequences that he said Joe Biden knew about, James wouldn't have had the money to write the $40,000 check to his brother Joe. It's also worth remembering that Biden family efforts to secure millions from this Chinese company began when Joe Biden was still vice president. In taking funds sourced to a CCP-linked company that wanted to advance China's interest, Joe Biden exposed himself to future blackmail and put America's interest behind his own desire for money. The House Oversight Committee will continue to follow the money and hold President Biden accountable for his corruption.
All righty, we are back. And here he's saying that within a few days from now, we'll see what really happens. That they're going to bring Biden in. Biden is going to be brought in for questioning. So that would be great. Of course, we don't have a Justice Department. America, because America has forgotten her God, it's pretty obvious that God is forgetting America right now. But, Jim, the message out there for all of the pastors, and here's the good news that I've seen. I haven't seen, since Roe v. Wade passed, I haven't seen the pastors as activated as they've been, and that is the good news. I have I'm talking to all kinds of the pastors. In fact, for the first time, they've actually put, I'm driving by the churches, and they've got vote no signs out in the churchyards. Up until now, we were the only ones that ever did that. I mean, none of the rest of them, but now they're doing that. So the message for all the folks out there listening tonight is, come Sunday morning, you walk up and you tell your pastor, tell the people before we leave here today, demand that they obey God, you know, and resist tyranny, because this is tyranny. This nightmare is tyranny. And you folks, when you get to church, every one of you, go tell your pastor, make sure that he lets people know they need to do the right thing and obey God and tell people to go out and vote against the curse. What do you think about all that? Are you there? Did we lose Jen?
Pastor?
Yeah, there you go.
Hello?
Yeah.
Am I back?
Yeah.
I wouldn't wait. The only thing I would change with what you said is I wouldn't wait till Sunday, because Sunday is the very last day that pastors have to obey God, to obey what God said was so important that he wrote it with his finger in stone, thou shalt not kill. And so this is the chance for them to actually do what God says, to have the boldness and the courage to obey him. And this is the one thing that we have the other side doesn't have. We have the churches. We have the pulpits. If only they will have the courage to speak. And what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, many of you know about this man who was hung, who stood against Hitler, stood against the Nazis, and he said it, I think, better than anybody. Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. As you read in God's Word in Proverbs 24, we are commanded to rescue those that are being carried away to death. Proverbs 31:8, we're commanded to be a voice for those appointed to die. This is not an option. This is, if you love God, you do what he says. And what he says is very clear in his commandments, and that is, thou shalt not kill. And so right now we have an obligation to vote no to this nightmare of issue one, to vote no to issue two, which is recreational marijuana. It's packaged for children. We're looking to see where this goes. We look to where it's passed in other states. What we're finding is this becomes so abusive. And by the way, this is not your grandfather. This is not your father's pot. This is such a high dose that it's going to send people reeling. In fact, I was just in Florida a little while ago. I saw a billboard, and it says, a little high is too high to drive. And I'm like, is this what we've come to? We're taking out billboards to tell people that maybe you shouldn't drive high. We just heard a commercial about driving drunk. Well, is this what we really want to do, is usher this in? Well, right now we have the opportunity to speak, and we had better take it. And so what we've done at Faith to Action is we've got a memo that you can hand your pastor that can alleviate his fear. I did it with my own pastor. And I said, listen, because, well, I can tell him how I'm voting. No, you can actually, pastor, tell the congregation to vote no on issue one specifically, because it is a moral issue. And Liberty Counsel, they're the ones that have defended people for decades now, pro bono. They're the ones that stood with the county clerk in Kentucky, Kim Davis, when they put her in jail for refusing to authorize a fraudulent marriage between two women. They defended her and did so successfully. They're going to defend you if anybody were to come after you. But let your pastor know. It specifically spells out in this memo that you can download on the very top of the homepage at f2a.org. There's a blue bar. You can download it, and it's a memo of here it is. Click here for pastors only memo. You click that, and it tells you what you're allowed to do and not do. And specifically, it says that you can not only speak on this issue, you can not only tell your congregation the biblical perspective of voting no, why we need to vote no. You can play the ads. You can play our commercials. They're 30 seconds each. They can play all three of them. One that shows about the abortion nightmare, one about the transgender nightmare, and one about the child trafficking nightmare, that issue one is, we've got to stop it. So you can show the videos, you can hand out vote no literature, yard signs, you can have people speak at your service. Hey, if there's someone listening and you need a speaker, this is one Sunday that I have open. You know what? Email me at f2a.org. Just hit that contact button, and I'll get your email, so that if your pastor will allow me to come in, I can speak for, as I did at Cleveland Baptist last week, for 3 to 5 minutes. or as I did at Harvest Time Assembly of God Church the week before, I could do the whole sermon. We could speak on this for your church while there's still time. This is the last window of opportunity for pastors to speak out. You have the right to do so. You have the responsibility to do so. You can get rid of your fear. I know it's been decades of this lie that has told you that we've got to have a separation of church and state that has kept the church out of politics. That's like saying, hey, let the tyrants run the place. Give them the keys to the authority, and let's see what that looks like. It looks like the criminalization of Christianity, another book I wrote back in 2005, and yet everything came true in that book. What we've got to do is realize that there's three lies, frankly, as I see it. One is that the church is supposed to stay out of this. The second one is that the giant is too big. Yes, I know that the millions that are coming in to do this, I know the lies that are coming in, but I want to tell you what, God is more mighty than the millionaires. He's bigger than the billionaires. He's more powerful than the political pundits. And this is what I know. I have seen Goliath fall. I saw it with partial birth when we had to pass the state's first discharge petition to pull this out of a hostile committee. They said it couldn't be done. It was done. I was there when we passed parental consent with an amendment from Jim Jordan. He was in the news very recently about being potentially he was going to be the next speaker before they picked Mike Johnson. Well, he introduced the floor amendment for parental consent. You remember that, Pastor?
I certainly do.
We showed the hypocrisy that these legislators wanted parental consent before a minor could get a tattoo, and we exposed it. Why would you do it for tattoos and not for something far more serious, far more dangerous, and that is abortion on a minor child, and dismembering that child within the womb? It's something that they said couldn't be done, including that heartbeat bill. When we introduced that, you were there, Pastor, and what we found is they said it can't be done. The establishment fought us. The Right to Life movement fought us. And you know what? Here we are now, 13 years later, there are 15 heartbeat laws. It led to, I believe very strongly, it led to the overturning of Roe. But here's what we have to remember. Issue one is worse than Roe versus Wade. It actually
is. By far, it is. It really is by far.
Because under Roe, we had parental notice. We had a parental consent. We had fetal homicide, a woman's right to know. This would wipe it all out and turn this into a taxpayer-funded thing that we all would be forced against our will to pay for killing children. And the way this thing is worded is so deliberately broad. Keep in mind, Pastor, this is their new national strategy. This is the model that they are queuing up states right now. Next in queue is the state of Florida, a pretty important state in the 2024 elections. If you know, Ohio and Florida are very, very key, and that's why they're targeting us. Then they're saying Arizona is in the crosshairs. They're saying Arkansas. There are now 18 states that I'm told that can amend their constitution by a vote of the people, and that means that those are the ones they're going to try to inject abortion until birth and beyond, child mutilation, child trafficking, all within a state constitution. Here's what they do. They say, forget the will of the people. Forget the legislative process that our founders put together. Forget the Dobbs decision that says, hey, you know what? This is supposed to go back to the people through their elected officials. Well, that's not what issue one is. Issue one says, hey, the one with the most money wins. We're going to come in with bankroll this with all the blood money you can imagine, the Soros, the left money, the out-of-state, the California money. It's all pouring into the state to deceive people.
Over $70 million just in television ads.
What are they up to, $70 million?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
You know what? Just remember, God's more mighty than the millionaires. I remember when we were doing a debate, a presidential debate, and CNN scheduled the debate for the same time, the same day that we did. You were there, Pastor, weren't you, at the Values Voter debate
we did
back in 2007?
Yep.
And
mm-hmm.
And I remember going on the air. They said, you know what, CNN scheduled the debate, and what are you going to do about it? I said, you know what, I'm going to call for a three-day fast. And I asked for people to fast because I've been saying for many years that God is more powerful than the pundits. He's bigger than the billionaires. He's more mighty than the media. And you know what? It's time we put this to the test. And that's where we are right now in the state of Ohio. We're going to trust the God of the impossible that's emblazoned in our state model, on our state house seal. We're going to trust that God, and we're going to put our faith to action, and we're going to awaken the church. There's one more week to do it. This is the time to call your pastor. By the way, people are sitting on the sidelines. They're saying, what can I do? Well, let me tell you something. I just made a radio buy of 10 stations, 10 radio stations. I got another dozen queued up. But what we need are the funds to do it. We've got a commercial. Here's the commercial. Ohio fought all the way to the Supreme Court to ensure parental notice prior to their child's abortion surgery. We were the first to introduce the heartbeat bill and pass the ban on partial birth abortion. But issue one would obliterate it all. If we don't vote no to this nightmare, it will make abortion until birth without parental notice a constitutional amendment and take the lives of a stadium full of innocent children each year. Protect life and parental rights. Vote no to the nightmare, November 7th. That's the ad that we're wanting to get out statewide. If you want to help, a contribution of any amount to Faith to Action. I can say this because none of this money is going to salary or overhead. I'm pouring everything we have in. As soon as I look at the donations that come in, I call my media guy. This is my fourth or fifth time saying, hey, we want to up the amount. We want to up the amount. More and more people are giving. I had a state rep call and give me money today that says I want to help. And so if you want to, and I'm saying I'm leaving no stone unturned, this is everything. This is for all the marbles. This is for everything we've ever done in the state. Think about this. Every call you've ever made to a legislator, every door you've knocked on, every election you voted in, this is going to wipe it all out if we don't come together now. But here's what I know. God is famous for working through remnants. This is what he's famous for. He is famous for showing up and showing off, and that's what we're counting on. And for pastors to now, pray for your pastors to have courage. I know they get beat up a lot. I know that it's really a hard thing because they've had decades of being told that they've got to shut up and sit out. No. This is our moment to obey God and not the perception of men, because it's just a perception. We have that right. I'm looking at the Liberty Council memo right now, and it basically spells it all out. There's a list of everything you're allowed to do, and if that were to come under fire, if someone were to question that, Liberty Council would be there to defend you for free. But they won't have to, because the other side knows the law. All they do is intimidate. All they do is threaten. But there's nothing. There's no teeth behind that. It's like the enemy. You know, God says that the enemy, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. But he doesn't have the ability to pounce on us as we are Christians covered in the blood. We have that armor on that cannot be penetrated. And that's where we need to be. We need to be like the kings of old that say, you know, I may not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That's where we are right now. And what we've got to do is everything possible. Get your pastors. That's our secret weapon. If pastors speak up on Sunday in the pulpit, then we win. If they remain silent, then we run the biggest risk we've ever faced in the state of Ohio. And that's really where we are, Pastor.
Yeah, I know that. And for those people out there that say, well, now, Pastor, we understand, but you know, you have to keep your faith and your politics separate. Well, let me tell you something about that. I've heard that so many times. Right here, God's Word, the Bible, right here, from Genesis to Revelation, every prophet, every priest, every pastor, and none ensued this as much as the Lord Jesus himself. Their faith and their politics were completely inseparable. They were one of the same, no difference. And that's the way it's supposed to be with every man that's in that pulpit out there today. In fact, that's the way it's supposed to be with every Bible-believing Christian, everyone who's born again. Your faith and politics have to be one and the same. Or you're a double-minded person, right? And so,
stable in all his ways.
That's right. And so, again, and for the pastors, you know, the one person in the Bible, God's Word, the Bible made it very clear, the righteous are as bold as lions. And up until now, Jan, I'm afraid the pastors in the country have let God down. They have let God down. No place has he been more just completely disrespected than from the pulpits. Because back in John McTurnan, back in 1962, when they decided to expel God from the public school system, the pastors should have marched on Washington, D.C., and they should have put that court on trial. The pastors had the responsibility to do that as the leaders, and put that court on trial for treason against God and country. They failed. In 73, when that ungodly court that was supreme only in its rebellion against God, when they declared, what God has made unlawful, we will make legal, if you purchase a license with mammon. The pastors should have, I did go. There was about 100 of us went. But the pastors should have gone. There should have been 10,000. Should have been 10,000 pastors Washington, marching in Washington, D.C., and putting that court on trial. They failed again. They tried a little harder where it come to same-sex marriage. We saw that, okay. But I think maybe this time, at least here in Ohio, I think the pastors are realizing that what happens to their ignorance and their apathy, no longer can you continue. They're realizing, see, here, Jan, here's the thing. This really hits the pastors at home, because all of these pastors out there, they're parents and grandparents, and this hits them right there in their own home too, because again, the way that this very, very dissenter, sinister, and I mean sinister, ACLU, has worded this nightmare, they've worded it in such a way where here. And they say this, well, that doesn't mean just because it's worded that way, just because that can happen, doesn't mean it's going to happen. Tell me one wicked, evil thing that Planned Parenthood could do and they didn't do, right?
We got to remember, this wording is not accidental.
No, I know.
I'm looking at a website on ACLU, and this is what they're saying. Sex work is real work, and it's time to treat it that way. We're looking at the deliberate planned destruction of society. We're looking at trying to turn children into prostitutes, and then they've got case after case. I'm looking at another page of all these articles where they're saying that they're going after parents or anybody that stands in the way of a child mutilation, of cutting off healthy body parts. And it's, they've sued in Montana, they've sued in Tennessee, they've sued in Indiana, they've sued all the way up to the Supreme Court. They are trying to say that children should have this choice, and parents have no say. It's the parents that are the ones who are in charge. They have the custodial responsibility. If you can stem it to all the Supreme Court cases that back that up, and this violates every single one of them. It's deliberate, it is intentional, and it is for the purpose of undermining parents and destroying children in the womb and children outside the womb. This thing is drafted, Pastor, straight out of the pit of hell.
You're not kidding.
It is demonic is what it is, and that's what we've got to use those weapons that God tells us we have. They're not carnal. You know what? We are fighting powers and principalities, and we've got the authority that he gave us. Jesus not only paid for our salvation at the cross, he gave us the keys of the kingdom back, and he says, hey, you know what? All power and authority is given to me, and I'm giving it to you to use in this arena, to get on our face. And I'm gonna ask for people to fast from now until Tuesday in some manner. Maybe it's from scrolling on your Instagram. Maybe it's from Facebook or whatever it may be, or Meet or whatever you want to say, God, I want to do everything I can in this hour. Leave no stone unturned. Leave nothing undone. This is the time. This is everything. This is everything in the last 50 years that's hanging by a thread. If we just have to come out and vote no to the nightmare on issue one, no to the nightmare of recreational marijuana of issue two. And I don't know if you've seen some of the emails. In fact, if you don't get the emails at Faith to Action, you're missing out. You want to go to F2A.org, and one of the things we talked about is what issue two is. They talked about the packaging, that this is colorful, and they give kids gummies, and it's such a high potency, and they might take it, and it takes 30 minutes to go into effect, and they don't feel it, so they take a few more. These kids are basically being set up for being for overdoses. This is the gateway drug to all kinds of things that we do not want in this state. And so you know what? I think it'd be kind of cool if we would take this time and pray, Pastor. What do you think?
Well, we need to take our time, and we have Chaplain McTurnan here, who hasn't been saying much. So I'm going to have him.
Dominating. I'll be more quiet.
Already.
No. Don't be quiet. You're on a roll. You keep preaching.
Amen. John, would you pray? I would ask you to pray this way. How much time do I have there? Do I have? Okay.
It's like about 6 minutes or something.
Okay, about 4 minutes. John, would you pray that God would bring these people to repentance, would you pray, okay? And I would actually, I'll do it later because it's going to take a little longer, pray in a precatory prayer, not to anger people, but then in precatory prayer to bring people to repentance, lest they should burn in hell, okay? And I'm going to do that for all of those out there that think, well, you know, they don't realize what a horrible thing this is. So go ahead, John. Can you do it in 3 minutes?
Sure, Pastor Ernie. Sure. Yeah, Father, Abba Father, we're before you with an extremely serious issue. And this issue has to do with really the integrity of the state of Ohio and this constitutional amendment, which, of course, the devil uses deceit, lies, half-truths, and so it can be confused in the hope of getting it through and turning Ohio into California or similar state. We're asking for mercy, Lord. Pastor Ernie is encouraged with churches responding, and our guest has great faith, and things have moved politically when she's been involved. So we're asking now that your people would have to vote. They can't sit back. They have to go out and vote, that your people would go out and vote. They'd vote the right way, and that right way is to protect the children, the family unit. It's to protect them from being preyed upon by monsters, Lord. These are real monsters in every sense of the word. So we're crying out to you in Jesus' name. And the Bible says, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, that will he do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So we're asking in the name of Jesus. In fact, we know you hear this prayer. So we're asking in the name of Jesus that this lie from the pit of hell would be defeated, crushed, and that as much as possible, the babies in the womb, but it's outside of the womb now, Lord. If they can't kill them in the womb, they're after them when they're little babies, little children. They're after them to mutilate them, Lord, and pervert them. So we're asking for the protection of the children in Ohio, Lord. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, John. Well, you know, I wanted to say this too, and Jan, these same people, the largest purveyor of human trafficking is the United States government. Our government is the major source of human trafficking. I mean, and this is bad. I mean, it is really bad. We're standing in the shadow of an angry God, and it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so here, these people, like you said, that are behind this, these are the same people that are behind the human, the child sex trafficking people. Do you understand what I'm telling you, folks? The same people that are pushing this, it's about money, it's about money, it's about blood and money. These are the very same people. And this is why you can't get any of these cowards to come on here and sit across from me, because they know this. It's as evil gets. And this is the time. God has raised us up for such a time as this. Right now, the very fact that we're here doing what we're doing is because he has raised us up for this time. And we're either going to run to this battle and someday hear those words, well done, our good and faithful servant, or we're going to wish we had. As far as I'm concerned, from day one, I've been all in, right? And so we're going to go to a break here in a minute when we come back from the break. Maybe we might take some calls. I'm going to leave that up to Jan. We'll be, how many seconds do I have? I got about 10 seconds.
I welcome the calls, Pastor. Go ahead and give the phone number in the time you have.
888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Be right back with more.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up, I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.